Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Missouri made its first legal sale of medical marijuana more than 5 years ago, and a lot has changed since that first purchase. Today, the state has registered more than 120,000 medical users, but it's no longer just patients. For the last 3 years, adults in Missouri over 21 have been able to buy cannabis legally. Last year's combined revenue for medical and recreational sales totaled $1.5 billion and has reached nearly $5 billion since it became legal. And yet, even as those numbers grow, there are certain realities in Missouri's marijuana industry and obstacles that are worrying lawmakers, business owners, and consumers. And with me now to talk about those obstacles and the latest updates in the world of Missouri marijuana, I'm joined by Rebecca Rivas. She covers the Missouri cannabis industry for the Missouri Independent. Rebecca, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Rebecca, let's talk first about a major change in the legal status of marijuana. Last month, President Trump signed an executive order that reduced marijuana's legal status from a Schedule I drug to a Schedule III. Now, this federal system of schedules, it goes back to 1970 and President Nixon. And that's decades then of federal law. But what does this mean, this change? What does it mean for Missouri?
Right. Well, I think not a lot of, if you're consuming, if you're going to the dispensaries, it's not going to change a lot. So you're not going to see, you're not going to be able to use your credit card for one. I think people wanted to know that right away. It won't change that. And also, you still can't cross over marijuana from state lines because it is still on a controlled substance. So, you know, that won't change how we're regulated in Missouri. There's still a set number of licenses that we have, and that's not going to change. It doesn't change any of the regulations that those licensees have to abide by, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing, though, for those businesses is that they haven't been able to deduct business expenses. Things like rent, travel, advertising, a lot of professional services like regular businesses. So kind of what they're rejoicing really is that they're finally getting treated like a regular business.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you've heard from, you know, cannabis attorneys or from business owners themselves?
Yeah, I think for them, the biggest celebration is that they are not feeling like, you know, there's just always been such a stigma around the marijuana industry. And they're hoping that because the Schedule III status means that there is some medicinal benefit to the product, it's just kind of a federal recognition that it's not in the same category as a lot of those other major drugs that where they say, you know, abuse is, there could be abuse of this drug and there's no medicinal value. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of hopefully a step in the right direction of changing the mindset for them.
One of the things that you mentioned just moments ago has to do with how customers pay for these products and that the rescheduling of cannabis will not permit customers to use credit cards or the way it's not going to change the way banks look at cannabis transactions. Why is that the case?
Yeah, so banks, you know, they're governed by a different kind of framework. It's an institutional risk framework. And so that still is going to be, they're still going to prohibit cannabis transactions based on, you know, the factors that they're weighing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it federal law doesn't completely change that. I think there's going to be some things that they're looking out for in the future that could hopefully allow that as well. But I think there's a lot of ways that people can pay at dispensaries and so hopefully it wouldn't dissuade them too much still.
Let's move to a different topic, and it's been vexing Missouri's marijuana industry, and that's hemp. So hemp is cannabis, but it's a part of the plant that will not get you high the way marijuana does. But the difference between hemp and marijuana has become a legal issue here in Missouri. Talk to us a bit about these hemp products, Rebecca. Where did you first encounter them?
Right. Well, so I began covering cannabis for the Missouri Independent right after we legalized recreational marijuana in around like February 2023. That was when the first recreational sales began. And I remember somebody texting me saying that they had just gotten, they're like, I just got like a, you know, like a weed brownie, you know, like a pot brownie from the farmer's market. Can they do that? Can they legally sell that? And they told me the name of the company. And when I looked it up, it was saying that that was a hemp company, you know, that they were using certified hemp and, you know, the extraction from that to make the brownies and selling them legally. And so I think you see them in a lot of different ways. You see them at the bar, Mighty Kind, you know, hemp seltzers. A lot of people see they've got 5 milligrams THC, 10 milligrams. And then you also see like a lot of things that might look like candy and have THC. Those are the products that are most worrisome. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of, I don't think people are too worried about the beverages, you know, because the alcohol industry has their own way of regulating. You know, they have their own testing requirements, age gating, all of those things. I think it's these products that are going, they're showing up in gas stations or other stores that look a lot like candy. And so that's pretty much what's caused the whole federal shutdown for mm-hmm. the entire country. That's basically what you're going to see in Missouri if the federal government continues on with the track it has now. It would go into effect in November.
You spoke with some of the business owners who are selling hemp, and some told you that they're worried that this new federal restriction will destroy their businesses. How would that be the case?
Right. So just this week, on yesterday evening and then this morning, the House, Missouri House and Missouri Senate are moving through bills that would align with the federal regulations. So that means that these products can't have any more than 0.4 milligrams of THC. It's a very low amount per container. So like, you know, as I was saying, like a hemp beverage is 5 milligrams per beverage. So yeah, it's going to go across the board for every kind. That's what both of the bills would do. The difference is, though, that the Senate bill would go into effect immediately after it's passed by lawmakers and the governor signs it. So it has an emergency clause. The House bill, though, wouldn't go into effect until it goes in effect federally. And kind of what's happening right now on the federal level is that they're trying to pass an extension for another couple years. So we wouldn't have that go into effect until 2028.
Mm-hmm. So is anyone regulating these hemp products?
That's a great question. No, nobody.
That's a short answer.
Yeah. I mean, there are other states that have regulated it, like, you know, they either have a whole different regulating system or their cannabis regulators are working with it. But basically, in Missouri, nobody. There's no government agency, and federally, state, locally, for many cities, most cities, I would say, are not regulating. So there's nobody that's checking. Indeed, there's 5 milligrams of THC in that container. There's nobody that's checking that it's actually hemp. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's checking that it was tested to make sure that there's not dangerous metals or other kinds of pesticides in there, which is what the marijuana industry has to do. So that's why it's concerning, but it's just been that way for years because they just can't get it passed through the state legislature.
Mm-hmm. You wrote about an investigation of hemp products conducted in October, and it tested 55 intoxicating hemp products that were purchased from smoke shops and gas stations across Missouri. And the results of that test showed that nearly all of the products would violate the new federal restrictions on THC content in hemp. So we talked a little bit earlier about business owners, but I mean, could these business owners and their customers then find themselves in some risky legal territory?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So then the bills that are being passed through the legislature are going to allow, they're going to give the authority to local police and law enforcement to actually act on that. They don't have that authority right now, and that's what a lot of them came forth in the hearings this week. You know, police chiefs saying, like, you know, when we arrive and somebody says, somebody's selling weed as part of this garage sale kind of situation or flea market, I think it was, they arrived and they couldn't do anything because the person said it was hemp, you know. So this would allow them to actually regulate the products.
Mm-hmm. Missouri spent the last 4 years, Rebecca, trying to regulate hemp products. I mean, what is the root of this trouble that lawmakers have been having?
Right. I think in the beginning, it's a real legal, and it's a lot of legality and a lot of science, right? So cannabis sativa, it's a plant that both marijuana and hemp derive from. So you got marijuana that has more THC, it's bred for that, and then hemp should be bred to have lower amounts of THC, and that's the stuff that gets you high. And so what happens, though, is in the 2018 Farm Bill, it legalized hemp. And what happened after that is we have great scientists that were able to take that small amount of THC that's in hemp and then just make it to be enough to make intoxicating products. Mm-hmm. And there's a few different ways they did that. At first, they were kind of basically taking CBD, which is a part of the chemical component of the plant that a lot of people take either to relax, those kinds of things, but you can convert it into THC through a chemical process. They were doing that at first, and then after, I think, you know, definitely there was a lot of lawmakers who were scared about that. They were threatening to ban those products. Now they start to do it more through just direct extraction. So you take a lot of hemp and you get THC out of that. So it's, you can't tell the difference between, mm-hmm. when you do it that way, between marijuana and hemp. So it's basically the same THC that's coming out of those plants. And the legal argument is saying, well, we're getting it from hemp. So that's why the federal government was attempting to clarify, no, we were not trying to allow you to be able to make intoxicating products out of hemp. We just thought you were going to go make rope or clothes or things like that.
Right. Or lotion.
Yeah.
We're talking about the latest developments in the Missouri cannabis industry with Rebecca Rivas, reporter with the Missouri Independent. Rebecca, every time that you've talked about cannabis on our show, we've talked about Missouri's micro-business or social equity program. And in November, you spoke with several people who've actually been awarded licenses for such micro-businesses. And some told you they were struggling or even on the edge of closing. So what did you learn from them about what it takes to get a cannabis micro-business off the ground?
Right. Well, I think an important thing to understand is that when you get a marijuana license, there's so much you have to do to be in compliance with state law. And these are companies that are able to spend a lot of money to make sure that they're in compliance. The smaller companies, which is what the micro businesses are, they still have to do all the same compliance. So it's very difficult. And I think that's the biggest hurdle, excuse me, is to keep up with that compliance. There's just a lot of boxes that need to be checked. But I think they're coming along now. I think they have about 15. Most of them are the cultivators and the manufacturers. And they're figuring out how they can work together. You know, some of them are like, I will work on cultivation. I will hopefully work on manufacturing so that we can move some products through to the dispensaries. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully more dispensaries will be able to open up.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can share about the predatory practices that you've talked with us about too?
Right. Yes. I think we've got some proposed rules from the Missouri Department or the Division of Cannabis Regulation. They proposed them in November, so they're going to be working their way through the process. I think hopefully this year they'll be approved. And a lot of what's going to happen is just adjusting the way that when they apply for these licenses, it catches some of these predatory arrangements, mm-hmm. that they've seen and revoked license for these past couple years. So, yeah, I think I do want to note, you know, like I would say, like people like Wiley Price, who we just spoke with, you know, who have focus on equity that's a lot of what we used to do at the St. Louis American, is just focus on equity. So I think we've always kind of had a little training on looking for these kinds of arrangements. So I just wanted to kind of give a little extra nod to Wiley, because, you know, that's 100% part of the work that he's been doing, is mm-hmm. just to give voices to the voiceless.
Have these programs succeeded in their promises, or, you know, their goals around equity?
And, you know, I think for programs, it doesn't matter if it's this one or any others, you just have to stay vigilant on it, watch it at every step. And I think that's really, if it's going to be successful, that's the way. People watching it, making sure it's working as it needs to. And if not, you know, push for change. And that's what you see these proposed rules are. They're the change that people were pushing for, you know, to make sure that it keeps bad actors out of the program.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, it's now been a few years since you started, you know, investigating that program in particular. Are there questions that still remain, or problems that sort of rise to the top as ones that seem to be the ones that need to be resolved sooner rather than later?
I think that I believe that these rules are really going to kind of catch one of the biggest problems, and that was that they were issuing the license and then they were kind of reviewing all of the contracts and who was actually going to own the license in the end. And then if they wanted to see a change, they were going to have to revoke the license. And that's a big, messy process. So now they're basically doing it before that. Before they issue the license, we're going to make sure that it's going to go to the right person. That way we don't have to revoke it. And we can just keep issuing the next person who was in line for the application lottery, basically. Because mm-hmm. you've had, I think it's 106, and then there's issued so far, but there's only actually 70. Because there were so many revocations. So they're just trying to, like, get out the process where they're having to do the revocation process. And I think that was a big catch, and I think hopefully that'll help things go smoother this next process, this next lottery, which should be this year.
Mm-hmm. As we come up on the anniversary of recreational marijuana being legal, you have spoken with a lot of cannabis business owners in recent reporting. What to you does the overall temperature of the industry feel like to you? Is there optimism overall?
Oh, wow. Yes, I think that there is a mix of both. I think if you go to a conference, something like that, I think there's going to be some celebration about how much money has been made, particularly in Missouri. It is definitely considered a gold star in the industry throughout the country. But I think there is some worry when there's not a lot of regulation around, you know, the hemp products that don't have to go through the compliance that marijuana industry does. There's just, you know, it just making sure that all the rules are clear on compliance, because sometimes that can be tricky for marijuana and license holders. So, yeah, I think there's a mix of both. And I think, but overall, it does seem like people still believe it's trending in the right direction. And if you are the folks that are making the money, it's actually trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. For those who didn't get licenses, I think they're saying, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities for those who don't have these licenses, yeah. you know, who want to get in the industry.
We'll look forward to catching up with you again in the future. Rebecca Rivas reports on the Missouri cannabis industry for the Missouri Independent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.